we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
This is a battle of worldviews.
And we activate.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Thanks for joining me on this Thursday. Of course, I get you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Walker gets you on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, and thankful for you listening to At the Core and applying what we talk about. It's not enough for us just to talk, right? We've got to take action in our community, so appreciate you being an audience that does that. I get to hear the testimonials all the time or run into you around the country when I'm out speaking somewhere. So thank you so much for just being a great audience and for helping to be part of the solution to save this country. It's not going to happen by accident. It's going to take a lot of work. We've probably got some tough days ahead of us in order to do so, but we're paying the price of sitting on the sidelines for too long. And, you know, I don't look at the challenges and the rubble created from the, you know, literal destruction of our culture and the crumbling of our culture. I don't look at that and get depressed like some people do. I look at that and say, wow, it's great, as Reagan said, to not live in pale and timid times. I'm glad to live at a time where I can make a difference. And this is where God's placed me. And I hope that's your attitude as well. And you can have joy and you can stay in the fight with good spirits just by knowing that there are solutions, that you can pick up the rubble and rebuild, that there is, you know, there are principles that don't change, the timeless principles of liberty, the laws of nature and nature's God, they don't change. And so if we just put the good stuff back in, we can get the good stuff out again. We've got to stop putting the trash in, stop putting the garbage in. Unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of garbage coming out right now. And I want to start with that, just hitting some of the bad and the ugly, and then we'll get to some good today for sure. And a couple of headlines to talk about. We've got some great guests coming up in the program today. But right off the bat, of course, with the lifting of Title 42 and just the chaos at the border. And here in my home state of Texas, we're definitely feeling it. And it's by design, folks. This is not by accident. This is not something that was impossible to prevent. In fact, it was absolutely preventable. It is mayhem at the border right now. Absolute chaos. It's crumbling. There are now reports that the Biden administration has essentially said just release them into the streets. They are doing a little bit. You know, they changed their policy back to reviving the Trump era rules for asylum. So in other words, you know, most people that are coming across the border, they just want a better life. Okay, let's just be kind of blunt about this. They just want what we have here in America. That's okay. That's good. You know, there's a reason that we have five times as many immigrants in America as anybody else. We have one out of five immigrants on the planet in America. We have more immigrants in America than the second, third, fourth, and fifth nations combined. More immigrants in America than the bottom 159 nations combined. There's a reason for that. It's the American dream. People want to come here despite all of our problems, despite all the things that are happening because of the bad policies that have been implemented in our country. It's still the greatest nation on earth. And so people want to be here. So most of the people flooded across the border, they want to be here because they want a better life for their kids and for their families. I get that. I understand that. We want people like that. But it's got to be done legally. It's got to be done through the front door, not the back door. It's got to be done obeying the law and following the rules. That's how it works. That's the biblical way of doing it as the sojourner. You come in and you follow the law, and then you're treated the same as everybody else. That's great. We support that fully. I've said it a million times. We want it 1,000 times easier to get in legally, but 1,000 times harder to get in illegally. So when we say immigrants, you know, those numbers I was giving you, that's just you're living in a nation in which you were not born. So it includes both legal and illegal. We want legal immigration. We do not want illegal immigration because it becomes what we're seeing right now at the border. And the problem is that even though most of those people want a better life for their families, that leaves out of the millions, I forget the number now, 6, 7, 8 million now that have come in since the Biden administration essentially opened the border. Out of all of those millions, of course, there are a lot of bad actors. There are gangs. There are terrorists. There's drug dealers. There's cartel operatives. I mean, there's tons of very evil, awful people walking across our border. Either they're the gotaways, which means we have no record of them, or they're processed by our government and then just released into the streets of America. So that is the situation. And the worst part is the good people coming across are absolutely abused on the way. One out of four women are raped. Children are sold into sex trafficking. It is awful, folks. It's a terrible, terrible situation happening at the border. 100% preventable. Had we kept the Trump policies? Had we finished the wall? Had we continued to remain in Mexico and all of those things? We would not be facing this onslaught, this literal invasion at our border. But here we are, and it's by design. This is what the Biden administration wanted. This is what the Marxists want. They want to radically transform our nation. Those are just the facts. That's what we're facing. We are being destroyed from within because of the bad policies. And part of how you destroy the culture and you remake America into a Marxist ideology instead of the freedom ideology it was based upon, biblical ideology, part of how you change that is you change the makeup of America. You bring in millions and millions and millions of people who do not have the American foundation, who do not have that value system. And you also bring in plenty of people that will create chaos and mayhem, and more crime, more destruction, more mass murders. I mean, all of that kind of stuff. So that's what we're facing, and it's at an apex at this point. I mean, it's numbers that are hard to even imagine. I'm not even sure that we're gonna know for sure how many ended up coming across. It's absolute chaos. And the bad part is, again, preventable, completely preventable. The Biden administration welcomed this, created this situation, but also preventable by the states. Texas could have stopped this a long time ago along our border, and then New Mexico and Arizona would have followed suit. Had Kerry Lake won in Arizona, they would have already done it. They were on their way to doing it, even under Ducey, with the storage container wall that they were building. And then the Biden administration makes them take it down. I mean, that's how bad the Biden administration hates you and hates America. And so, but anyway, Texas could have led the way. We could have stopped this a long time ago. Our governor is all hat, no cattle. He talks a good game. He goes on TV, acts like he's being tough, does a few little things, but refuses to do what is necessary to stop this invasion. He finally, after much pressure, candidates against him in their last race, I mean, we campaigned against him all over the state, asking and begging for him to declare an invasion, to exercise the Article 1, Section 10 power given to the states to do that when the feds fail under Article 4, Section 4. He just refuses to get the job done. He finally, just a few months ago, declared an invasion, actually said, yes, there is an invasion, which put us in a position to be able to repel that invasion, but he still will not take the steps necessary to do that. So this week, we've seen a lot of saber rattling. He's sending these quote-unquote tactical teams. They're putting some razor wire up. So they're doing some things. So I commend you, Governor Abbott, for doing some things. I wish you would just do all of the things that are at your fingertips instead of being so afraid of some judge telling you that you're overstepping your state powers. Do it and then let them and then fight the battle in the courts. I think we will win ultimately. I think Scalia's dissent in the Arizona v. U.S. case from years ago is what would now be the majority if we could just get another case like that before the Supreme Court. But you got to push the envelope. And this governor just refuses to do that. So he's doing some little, stopgap measures. And I think it will help with the gotaways. And what that means, I said it earlier, but that's just people that they literally got away. We don't know who they are, where they are, where in the country they went. They did not get processed and released into the country, which is almost as bad. But they just, walked across in the middle of the night. Or we have them on, infrared or camera or whatever. So we have somewhat of a count of those gotaways. But at any rate, it's a disaster. But Abbott's steps that he took a couple days ago may actually help to limit the gotaways. But it's not going to limit how many end up in the U.S. because he's not doing any more to repel the invasion. He's going to just hand them over and is handing them over to the feds, who are then releasing them on our streets. So it's just more of the game. What he should be doing, what we've been asking him to do, what the Constitution empowers him to do, is repel the invasion. Anyone who's coming across illegally, you take them and physically place them back on the other side of the border, and you prevent them from crossing. That's what's got to happen here. That requires a massive presence at the border. It's going to require all kinds of tactical and strategic things. I'm not saying it's that it's simple, but that's what you have to do, and that's where you have to start. Unfortunately, the legislature's not much help either. We have an incredibly weak-kneed Speaker of the House by the name of Dade Phelan, who was allowed for the killing of all kinds of bills that would have been great. And he's just a terrible speaker. I mean, he's just doing a terrible job. So I know all of our listeners out there, you think Texas is this conservative haven and this red state that's doing everything right. I'm sorry to tell you, we have a major battle just to keep Texas from turning blue right now. And unfortunately, this speaker is letting bills not pass. He's allowing bills to be killed that would make us more red, that would do what Florida did, basically run out a whole bunch of the liberals and invite conservatives into the state, which would make Texas stronger. But those types of bills, like not allowing for drag shows for kids and that sort of thing, which, by the way, my son testified for that bill yesterday and did a fantastic job. I don't know if we're going to get those passed or not. We're down to a couple of weeks, and they're letting the left, who is in a minority in our Texas House, but they're letting them kill bills left and right on points of order that are silly points of order that would have been absolutely ruled against years ago. But this speaker's letting it all go through. So it's a mess. It's a mess all the way around. And they killed the border bill that would have it wasn't necessary for the governor to do what he needs to do, but it basically would have encouraged him to do it and been a specific state statute saying, go do this. And they let that die last night. Now they've taken a few bits and pieces, flowery pieces of it, and put it into another bill. But it's just I hate to be so negative today starting the program, but I'm just telling you, this border situation is a disaster, and no one is stepping up to do what is necessary to stop it. And what makes matters worse is that it's going to be, by not stopping it, you're inviting more of it. So what we're seeing now is only going to increase as people from all over the world see that and say, well, that means I could get across. That means I could be live in America. That means, you know, it's just everything that they should be doing to solve the problem, they're not doing. Everything they're doing to encourage more of the problem, everything that they're doing is actually encouraging more of the problem. So eyes wide open, this is the situation we're living in and that we're faced with. We're not going to give up. We're not going to look, as I said at the beginning, at that rubble and this crumbling at the border and in our country and say, oh, well, it's all over. No, instead, we're going to lean in. We're going to say, hey, it's time to step up even more. And part of what's got to happen is Texas has got to become stronger. And I'm going to be involved in some significant efforts over the next few years to turn that legislature and to actually get good people in there that will do the job. And eventually either get a governor that will do the job or finally get enough pressure on Greg Abbott, who's a typical politician. He does the right thing when there's enough pressure on him to do the right thing. And I'm fine with him jumping out in front of the parade and acting like he's leading it. But the parade's going. The people of Texas want the border closed. People of America want the border closed. We want school choice. We want all of these things. And he could get those things done if he would just do what's necessary. So enough about Governor Abbott and the lack of leadership there and the things that are happening in Texas. Let's keep our eye on it. Let's know that it's a mess. We're going to pay some heavy prices for it. And it's all the more reason that we have to shift our focus and say, you know what, I'm going to have to be involved. I'm going to have to give of my life, my fortune, and my sacred honor, even more than I've ever done before. It means we've got to give more of our time to getting good people elected, more of our time to hosting Constitution classes, getting more people educated on these things, studying the Bible and what the Bible says about being good citizens. I mean, all of those things take work, and we've got to get in the trenches and scratch and claw. We've got to do the hard work to save the nation. We can no longer sit back and just hope that somebody else will come along and solve the problem. So lives, fortune, sacred honor, all this mayhem should not depress you. It should motivate you. It should be enough for you to say, you know what, that's it. Can't sit on the sidelines anymore. I'm going to give of my time. I'm going to sign up today to be a Constitution coach. Do it today. Go to patriotacademy.com, get signed up as a coach, and get a class started online or in your home or at your church, but get started building community. Get into God's Word. Study every day so that you'll know truth, and then be able to battle in this culture war that we're in. Lives, fortunes, yes, I'm asking you to give more. I don't care if you got to sell something, if you got to give up a hobby, if you got to downsize your house, get in a position where you can donate to American Family, to Patriot Academy, to wall builders, to candidates. We've got to be able to fight the economic war as well, and that requires us to give of our fortune. And then our sacred honor, yes, speaking truth. We've got to be willing to stand up and speak truth when we may get canceled, when others may you know try to silence us. But we've got to get back to this free speech idea. Somebody just emailed me this morning saying, and I'm not sure it was Voltaire, but you know, I've always said, and we used to say this all the time, we used to say, I don't agree with you, but I'd fight and die for your right to say that. And somebody emailed me this morning saying that was actually Voltaire from the 1600s. That's interesting. But anyway, that used to be just kind of part of our philosophy, and not anymore. Now people cancel you for speaking truth, but you got to say, I'm going to speak truth anyway. That's sacred honor, your reputation on the line. Lives, fortune, sacred honor. We got to do it every day till we're 6 feet under. There's a lot of work to do, folks. Let's get out there and do it. Okay, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I got some great interviews lined up for you today. One other headline I want to hit, which is the whole thing about the Biden family getting over $10 million from China and others. Maybe that's why they want the border open. They want their cash payments more easily delivered. Stay with us. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
We're back here on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, and thrilled to be with you this afternoon. Thank you so much for staying with us. We were talking in the first segment about the border chaos and just the fact that, you know, the cavalry's not coming. Federal government's going to take these little bitty steps, but it's all for show, and they're releasing these people into the streets. Of course, the streets of El Paso and other areas of Texas are already absolute chaos. This is an absolute disaster, and it's created by the Biden administration. They wanted this to happen, and so when they try to look like they're swooping in to stop this and save the day and all that, don't buy it. Don't buy it at all. And unfortunately, the Texas solutions are crumbling by the hour. House Bill 20 killed last night on a point of order, and the Speaker allowed it to happen. It was a silly point of order. He's allowed a lot of good bills to die, or at least be killed temporarily. We'll see. We got a couple of more weeks. We'll see if some of these good bills like school choice and others come back. But the preventing child mutilization on this transgender issue, all those types of bills, this Speaker has failed miserably at getting those things through. So be praying that there's some sort of a revival in the Texas House and we can get some of that stuff done. One other headline before we go to our first interview of the day, and this one I mentioned right before we go into the break yesterday, the House Oversight and Accountability Committee started releasing some of the information that they have found in their investigation of the Biden family. It is literally a crime syndicate, folks. This is insane what they're uncovering. We knew almost all of this because there's been bits and pieces, whistleblowers, all that, but it's just been ignored by the media. And so there's been, you know, most people in America don't know it. You know it as a listener to At the Core and to AFR, because we talk truth here and we let that stuff be known. But most of the media has not done that. And so James Comer, he's Republican chairman of this committee. He's from Kentucky, but anyway, Republican chair of this committee in Congress, and he's been saying for weeks just how bad this was going to be, what they were going to be releasing. And they're essentially saying, look, we've found a web of all of these limited liability companies, over 20 companies. In fact, let me just read you exactly what he said. It's a 36-page memorandum. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but here's what he said according to the Epoch Times. He said, Biden family members and business associates created a web of over 20 companies, most were LLCs, limited liability companies, formed during Joe Biden's vice presidency. Bank records show the Biden family, their business associates, and their companies received over $10 million from foreign nationals companies. The committee has identified payments to Biden family members from foreign companies while Joe Biden served as vice president and after he left public office. Despite creating many companies after Vice President Biden took office, the Biden family used business associates companies to receive millions of dollars from foreign companies. After foreign companies sent money to business associates companies, the Biden family received incremental payments over time to different bank accounts. These complicated financial transactions appear to conceal the source of funds and reduce the conspicuousness of the total amounts made into the Biden bank accounts. Chinese nationals and companies with significant ties to Chinese intelligence and the Chinese Communist Party hid the source of the funds by layering domestic limited liability companies. And so here's what he's essentially saying. Well, let me summarize his own. This is a quote. He said, I want to be clear that this committee is investigating President Biden and his family's shady business deals that capitalized on Joe Biden's public office and risked our country's national security. The committee has a duty to ask questions and pursue the facts no matter where they take us. So here we go, folks. They're digging in, man. They're doing the hard work and doing the stuff that's not popular. They're going to be called every name in the book. But as Comer said, many of these wire payments occurred while Joe Biden was vice president and leading United States efforts in these foreign countries. Now, you might remember, I mean, this is a guy, Joe Biden, who bragged about getting foreign entities to change their positions on things when his son was receiving millions of dollars in those foreign entities, in those foreign nations and in the political circle. So in other words, connect the dots. The vice president of the United States is using his power to create scenarios where his family gets paid big bucks, millions and millions of dollars. Now, this is a guy that's been a leech on the public his whole life. I mean, that's all he's ever done. He's never actually created jobs. He's never actually had a real job. He's been in politics his whole life, just literally living off of your tax dollars. And his family, of course, has done the same thing. And Hunter Biden is, obviously an absolute, disaster. and we've all seen the stuff, you know, from the laptop and the horrible things that he did and all the law breaking and everything else, while his dad, as Vice President of the United States, and then later not, you know, between being Vice President and being President, talked about how his son was the most ethical, smartest guy that he ever knew. I mean, that's what we're dealing with here. It is a crime syndicate family, and the media is ignoring it completely. The things that this family did absolutely necessitates Joe Biden's impeachment. Absolutely necessitates removing this family from our White House and from any position of power that allows them to do this influence peddling ever again. You can bet your life that if this was a Republican, they would have already been impeached, already been removed. Republicans would have already removed them. We just removed a Republican member of the Texas House for basically a sex scandal, and Republicans led the way to do that. So I think that's good. I think we should police our own, and we ought to be willing to do that. Democrats don't do that. I mean, if you go back to Nixon, the reason Nixon finally resigned is because Republican leaders in the U.S. Senate went over and said, Baker? Yeah, and others that went over and said, sorry, we're not going to defend you anymore. The jig's up. You got to quit. And we just don't, you know, Democrats don't do that. They cover for their own. They do whatever it takes to hold on to power. And so that's what you're going to see in the coming months as this committee investigates these things. But it's good that they're doing so. It's good that we finally have people willing to do that sort of thing and work to uncover these things and hopefully actually take real action. We need to be impeaching Mayorkas for the border disaster and the president, too, for the border disaster. And the czar, you know, his person is supposed to be protecting, you know, leading this whole thing, Kamala Harris. And the president and the vice president have been on television lying, saying the border's secure and all that. Yeah, it deserves impeachment. Okay, let's get to one of our interviews for today. This is our buddy Matt Staver over at Liberty Counsel. I love Matt and all that they do at Liberty Counsel. LC.org is the website. We're going to be talking about how hopefully changes that are coming to prevent this child mutilization that's been happening out there. Let's jump into this interview with Matt Staver. It's always good to have Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel. LC.org is the website. Make sure you're on the email list. I enjoy getting his emails on a regular basis. So many cases that they're dealing with, so many issues they're dealing with. It's the only way to stay up to date. Matt, thank you, brother. Appreciate you coming back on today.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
All right. We've covered a lot of topics with you over the last couple of years because you've got so many things going, so many different battles. And now, of course, this whole transgender thing where they are literally taking this to the kids and cutting up kids. I mean, it's awakened a lot of people, but they're doubling down. It sounds like, the medical industrial complex has lost their minds. I mean, is it a money thing? Why are they pushing forward on this?
Well, it's definitely a money thing. It's also an ideology issue, but definitely a money thing. There are hundreds of millions of dollars now in this industry. I mean, you look at, for example, some of these clinics that are popping up and the increase in hormones, whether it's, you know, estrogen or testosterone prescriptions, puberty blockers, and then these surgeries that are quite expensive. This is becoming a huge money maker, and we're seeing this happen around the country. On the other hand, while some of these individuals are frankly going against their original Hippocratic oath of do no harm, which they're actually harming these kids and permanently mutilating their bodies for life. On the other hand, there is a pushback that's happening by the population and by states, and it's actually not just in the United States, but it's happening globally, where you even have the Tavistock Clinic over in the UK that was this world-leading so-called entity that was pushing these transgender surgeries and so forth. They're now backing away because they're getting a lot of complaints from survivors, people that went through this medication, puberty blockers, hormones, and even mutilating surgeries, and now they are expressing deep regret.
Mm. And that does seem to be the big game changer in terms of changing minds for those who hadn't paid attention to this is when you have these kids in their 20s or, you know, saying, man, I can't believe they let me do this to myself in my teens. It's a powerful testimony to show just how evil this stuff is. You mentioned the legislatures are pushing back also in around the world. I was surprised. One of the best videos I've seen on social media was some guy. I don't even know who he was standing. I think it was the Dutch parliament. I can't remember, but it was he was so spot on in what he was saying. And he basically said it this way. He said, we will not allow your mental illness or your sexual fantasies to be normalized for our children. And I thought, nope, nobody puts it that blunt, but that's exactly what they're doing. Just a few years ago, this stuff was considered mental illness. And now instead, they're normalizing it and pushing kids into it.
Yeah, just a few years ago, it was considered a GID, gender identity disorder. And the APA, through its manual and its system, they changed it to gender dysphoria. They took out the word disorder. But it is a mental issue. And in fact, it's also in other areas like apotemnophilia. That's a disorder in a very similar way where people think that they are a disabled person inhabiting an abled body. And so to get your head wrapped around that, it means that these people think that they shouldn't have an arm when they actually have an arm, and they want to have the arm or the leg or the other body part amputated because they think in their mind they're disabled, but in reality they're an able-bodied person.
Wow.
That's no different than what we see with this issue here, that you're born biologically female or male, and now you want to change and become the opposite or a combination of both male and female or neither. I mean, and then you go through the puberty blockers, which are going to make you sterile. They're also going to have other physical and psychological effects. Then you go through the lifelong hormones of the opposite sex, and then you go through these mutilating surgeries that remove healthy body parts. At the end of the day, your DNA is still how it was created when you were born.
Yeah.
You're not assigned male or female at birth. You are male or female at birth.
Amen. Amen. Well, tell me about your take on the legislative pushback. Are we getting some bills passed? Do you feel like there's momentum at this point?
Oh, I think there's a lot of momentum that's happening now. What we're seeing here is a number of states that are moving forward to ban puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and mutilating surgeries. And this is happening primarily in the red states. But we even have states where the legislature has had to override a veto by a Democratic governor, for example, and they've been able to do that. So we're seeing more and more of those efforts across the country. We've seen this, for example, in Florida and other places. Florida, just through its regulating body of medical and osteopathic physicians, they have banned this kind of practice. Surgeons and other doctors can lose their license for amputating healthy breast, healthy body parts because of this agenda. But more and more states are moving in this direction. I think it's a good thing. And I think what we're seeing also is people like Chloe. She was raised in California. She bought all the propaganda. Her mother was told that if you don't allow her to go down this road with puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgery, in this case a double mastectomy, then she would commit suicide. Now that she's turned age 18, she dreadfully regrets what happens, and she is speaking out. We're also now starting to see lawsuits against these doctors, as well as the pharmaceutical companies, by individuals who have gone through this terrible road of destruction, and they are filing lawsuits against the pharmaceutical companies, against the doctors who led them down this path. We have at least 31 states that have passed or are considering legislation that seek to protect minors from the so-called transgender ideology in areas such as healthcare and sports, and we have so many things that are happening not just in the surgical arena, but also states are saying that if you're a biological boy, you're going to compete in boys' sports. You're not going to be able to jump over to the women's swim team. So, and I think what we're seeing also is the girls, for example, whether it's in the high school or the college level, they're saying this is ridiculous. I mean, they spend a lot of their time reaching the very top of their game, like Riley Gaines, for example, and then that gets overshadowed by some guy who can't compete in the men's swimming competition, pretends that he's a woman, and then beats her out of the competition. I mean, just absurd. So we're getting a lot of voices from a lot of sectors of society that are saying enough is enough.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, I think it's encouraging, man. Everything you just listed, it just gives me hope that people are waking up, and the insanity can be stopped if we step up. And like you said, I mean, to override a governor's veto, that's a big deal. And so there's some big victories happening across the country. Matt, thank you for keeping us informed. Thanks for being on the front lines. You know, I used to not like the word lawfare, but I think we have to now. And so these suits against some of Big Pharma and some of the things that are happening against the government. I mean, it's absolutely necessary. So we're just so thankful for you guys and what you do. And I know y'all have been just overwhelmed with cases and all the different things going on. So I really want to encourage people to support you. LC.org, that's where you can make your donations. Very important investment in freedom. The things Matt and his team are doing are absolutely incredible. Appreciate you, brother. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Absolutely love that guy. He and Anita are two champions. Champions of Liberty. That's why they named their organization Liberty Council. He was actually the dean, I believe the founding dean of the law school at Liberty University, and so did a great job there, so, you know, creating that and training up lawyers that are now out there as judges and in the field of the legal community, fighting for liberty and for freedom and for the biblical principles that we all hold dear. So Matt's just always been a warrior and on the front lines, thinks outside the box, is really good at strategy and tactics, and has been for me a source of inspiration and hope during the COVID crackdowns. I mean, he was willing to take on a lot of the lawsuits that frankly a lot of our other friends weren't willing to do. And so he took on a lot of the tyranny, represented a lot of our military veterans against the jab and getting kicked out of the military and represented churches to stay open, represented businesses that were being unfairly, literally prosecuted and gone after by these COVID nuts. And literally, it was COVID stand, man. I mean, these people were total tyrants, especially at the local level. But anyway, Matt Staver, just a champion and on a lot of issues. But glad that he could brief us on this one and keep us up to date. We're going to take another break. We've got some more opportunities to talk about some of the headlines out there, but also have another special guest. My buddy Steve Doolin is going to be with us. We're going to be talking about a cool business conference that's coming up that you want biblical worldview, not just in politics, folks, but also and how we conduct ourselves in business. So this is going to be good as well. Stay with us. You're listening to At the Core.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me on this Thursday afternoon. We got Phil King coming up in just a minute. He's a friend of mine that serves in the Texas Senate. We went into the House together. In 1998, we won our races and served that first two terms together, my only two terms. And actually, we even trained together on the campaign trail and did some classes together and just kind of learned together about how to get out there and win. Anyway, I love this guy. He does a fantastic job. So many things he's led on. I mean, even our freshman year in the House, he ended up getting tapped to lead the negotiations for our parental notification bill. This was back 1999, man, folks. Think about it. I mean, we hadn't passed a piece of pro-life legislation in Texas since Roe v. Wade. We were everything was getting killed. Democrats had control. And we were just trying to get a bill passed to have parental notification if a minor was going to have an abortion. Not even parental consent. This was just parental notification. And it was dying. And anyway, Phil stepped in and negotiated and ended up saving the day. And we got the bill passed. It was a big victory. And then later got parental consent and then, you know, continued incrementally to get a lot of good stuff passed. And I believe we're very much in the position in Texas of now no abortion. Very much thanks to the work of Phil King all those years. So it's going to be great to have him on the program. We're going to be talking about his Ten Commandments bill. And this is an important issue because it's all about the foundation of the culture. It's all about the principles that you build the culture on. And you should be teaching kids, of course, not to murder, not to steal, not to lie, to honor their mother and father. I mean, all those things are good things to be teaching. And I've been giving speeches on this for almost 30 years. But unfortunately, there was a Supreme Court case in 1980 called Stone v. Graham that said you cannot even have the Ten Commandments on a wall in a school. Crazy, insane. That we as a country, as a nation, would say we're going to remove the very foundation of all of our laws, all of our criminal and civil laws. We're going to take out the foundation. So a foolish decision that we made. But then there were so many Supreme Court decisions, the Lemon Test and all these crazy tests that Sandra Day O'Connor and other judges came up with. Instead of just going with freedom of religion, instead of just going with the Constitution itself, they made up all these things, and these made up tests allowed for really a prevention of the freedom of religion in so many ways. But thankfully, the Coach Kennedy case last summer has overturned a lot of that, and we've got really, I think the floodgate is going to open on restoring religious liberty in America, the Ten Commandments being a big part of that. So let's jump into this interview with my friend Phil King, State Senator from Texas. Our good buddy, I keep wanting to say State Rep Phil King, but it's State Senator Phil King, moved over to the other side of the Capitol and nearing the end of the legislative session and leading the way on a Ten Commandments bill. Imagine that, actually getting back to the foundation of what made America great in the first place. Phil, thanks for coming on, brother.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Hey, man, so tell us what the bill does and what you think chances are of getting this passed this year.
All right. Well, you know, when I grew up, many schools had the Ten Commandments posted. And then in 1980, there was a lawsuit out of Kentucky. I think it was Stone v. Graham. And the Supreme worked its way up to the Supreme Court, and they said, no, you can't have Ten Commandments in the classroom. It's a violation of church and state. Well, the Coach Kennedy case from last year abolished the Lemon Test, which was the religious liberties test that so many cases like the Ten Commandments had been based on. Well, now that that's gone, we filed a bill that has passed out of the Senate, and it simply says that every schoolroom in Texas will have a posted copy of the Ten Commandments, and we use the same language that is in the Ten Commandments monument on the Texas Capitol. And passed out of the Senate on party lines. And we'll see what happens in the House, but I think it's got a good shot.
Oh, man, that's, you know, imagine that. We've talked about this a lot over the years, you know, that if you actually put in front of children the idea, you know, thou shalt not kill or murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. I mean, these are good things to teach the kids. It's just basic values that you're teaching. What kind of objections are you getting to that?
Well, you had some from people that are very, very far on the left that don't want the influence of religion in the classroom. And of course, there is no single document in American history that has had a greater impact historically on both our legal system and on our moral code. But as you said, we want every child to look up there every day, the entire time of their education, and read, honor your parents.
Yeah.
Don't commit murder. Don't steal. Don't lie. Those basic things. But the objections have been some from the far left. Some people have said, look, what if you're Muslim? And you know, my thought is all the Muslim parents I know want their child to see every day something that says, don't lie.
That's right.
Honor your parents.
That's right.
Don't steal. The surprise was the Texas Baptist General Convention, Christian Life Commission, who specifically said, when I asked them, that they were there representing the Texas Baptist General Convention, came in and testified strongly against the bill, said that matters of religion, whether or not adultery was wrong, whether or not these other things, that those should be brought up by the family and not in a public school classroom.
Wow.
And I will tell you, I was utterly shocked.
Well, you know, I'm not, in a way, Phil, because I remember, of course, you and I came into the House together, I won't say how many years ago because people don't know how old we are, but you know, back then, when I was campaigning that first time, I was shocked then at how a lot of those churches were against me or not for even getting involved or encouraging their people to vote, even though, you know, it was a very clear, you know, on one side, pro-biblical, pro-life, that sort of thing, and on the other side, not. And David Barton actually said, hey, you got to understand, these people have been indoctrinated to believe in this separation of church and state thing the way that it's been interpreted by the left, and they are against everything we're for, even though they should be with us because they want the same outcome. They just don't understand the inputs, and you know, it's a shame, man. It seems like we expect the opposition from certain entities and organizations, but like you said, when it's people that are Bible believing Christians, you would think they would understand the value of that foundation of the Ten Commandments being taught. But it wasn't enough, I guess, if you got it out of the Senate.
Well, that's correct. And you know, the other thing, people forget what the purpose of public education is. It's not merely to educate children. The real purpose is to provide a functional, educated, prepared citizenry.
That's right. That's right.
And you cannot be a good citizen if you don't also have a moral base. And that's why schools also have to be involved in teaching what's right and wrong.
Yes.
And there's no simpler way to do that than the most historically represented document in our nation's history, and actually that of all Western civilization.
That's right.
Than the Ten Commandments, for the influence it's had on the legal code and the moral code. I mean, just look above the Supreme Court justices when you're watching them. When you're watching a hearing, and right above their heads are the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and Phil, you bring up a really important point, because it's not just the Texas Constitution, but virtually every state constitution, when you get to their education section, it starts with that, basically saying, in order to have an informed citizenry, in order to basically to preserve the republic, you need citizens that that have good values and
sure.
that have been taught these things. So really, really good point. Now, you've got there's some other religious liberty bills going through, public school chaplains,
yeah.
things like that. Kind of catch us up on some of those.
Yeah, it's been a really fun session. The Coach Kennedy case opened up a lot of opportunity. And one is for chaplains. And, you know, chaplains in the military, and I was a police officer for a long time. We had a full-time chaplain with the police department. Chaplains take a more holistic approach to than a counselor does. You have school counselors, and frankly, they end up mostly working on advising kids on, you know, what courses to take and that type of thing, and struggling through some different issues that may come up. But the chaplain is more there with the student, with the child, kind of throughout the day, building relationships. And there is a bill that will allow schools the option of, in addition to counselors, hiring chaplains. And of course, they're going to be people that are qualified for it, and the schools will make that decision. So that's an opportunity. Then another opportunity is a bill that Senator Mays Middleton is carrying, and it just says that each school district, that their board of trustees must take a vote and on whether or not they will allow a time for prayer and or Bible reading conducted by the students. And it makes it optional whether they do that or not, but the Board of Trustees actually has to bring it up and vote on it, and that'll let all the parents know exactly where their trustees are on such issues.
Well, that's good. That's good, man. Well, I heard that when you had your hearing on the Ten Commandments bill, you had some guys from your district that showed up, last name Barton, and you know, I just
wondered. Yeah, they were on the weak side, you know, but they did okay. No, David, we had a great panel. In fact, it was one of the best, if not the best, testimonial panels I've seen in 25 years in the legislature.
Mm.
Matt Krause, David Barton, and Tim Barton. And Matt began by speaking on the legal aspects of the bill, and then religious liberty and separation of church and state and those things. And then David talked on the history and brought some books from early school days in the early days of our nation that had the Ten Commandments and things like that. And so that was incredibly impressive. And again, that's that history aspect. And then Tim spoke on the moral code and the importance of kids seeing that a moral code is so important that is posted in every classroom,
yeah,
in every public school in the entire state.
Ah, so good, man, so good. Well, last thing I'll ask you and let you go, I know you got to get to the floor to vote, but just trends, kind of your perception after all these years in the legislature, and, you know, so many of these bills you're carrying now had no chance 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And, I mean, do you feel a resurgence of a desire to go back to those foundations, among your colleagues and as you watch the testimony or talk to people in the district?
Well, you know, it's such a battle. And, you know, it's not just whether or not, you know, you can do something like the Ten Commandments or have a special time set aside for a few minutes for prayer for kids or things like that. But on the opposite end, we've got this giant fight over these library books.
Yeah,
I mean, the Lieutenant Governor showed me a book the other day that they found in 124 of 125 public school libraries that they checked. And I'm telling you, it was incredibly pornographic. The pictures and the how-tos that it showed, and then teaching kids things like hey, you're safe on the internet. When you're on the internet, it's okay that nobody knows what you're doing. It's your safe place.
Wow.
You can believe what's on the internet. I mean, this is in a book that was in 124 or 125 blocks. And this fight that we're having to try to get districts to go through and really look through their books, pull out the bad things, and then have good processes in the future to keep that coming. Fighting things like that is just stunning to me.
Mm.
Plus the fact that we're having to deal with all this pronoun stuff and teachers being told that if a child wants to be called they or it or whatever, that they have to, and that they have to do that. And the fact that we're having, on the one hand, we've got these great opportunities with things like Ten Commandments, and on the other hand, we're fighting uphill to try to get pornography out of some of our public school libraries. And it's just astounding.
Yeah. No, it's shocking to see even parents taking their kids to these drag queen shows and all of this stuff that's happening. And it feels like to me that is shocking a lot of these people that have been sitting on the sidelines into action and into supporting things.
Well, they need to get on the ball.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, it is an uphill fight.
Ah, man, it's a huge battle, brother. Well, you're in it every day right there on the front lines. We love you and Terry, and God bless y'all for what you're doing. Pray you have a really strong last few weeks of the session, and looking forward to some great victory after action reports. So thanks,
yeah,
Phil.
I look forward to it too. Thanks a bunch.
That was State Senator Phil King. I still get that wrong. Anyway, State Senator Phil King, and a good piece of legislation there with the Ten Commandments bill. These types of things, these acknowledgments of God, these acknowledgments of good and evil, of right and wrong, of moral absolutes, 100% necessary to restore the culture. If we're going to rebuild the walls, if we're going to rebuild the foundations, if we're going to prevent the chaos that we started today's program talking about, what's happening on the border and all these things, if we're going to restore the country, we got to restore the foundations. We got to come back to the principles that made the nation great in the first place. And of course, our society, our entire way of life was built on these Ten Commandments. It was built on a biblical worldview. The founders were adamant about that. They wanted this taught, and they knew that a republic couldn't survive. Benjamin Rush talked about this all the time, the fact that a constitutional republic will not survive if you're not teaching the principles of the Bible. Noah Webster talked about the fact that you're going to end up with crime and evil and slavery and all these awful things anytime you ignore or neglect the precepts contained in the Bible. So these foundational principles are necessary for a good society, a good culture, and they're most necessary when we're young. Being taught when we're young is vital. And so having the Ten Commandments in the schools is a big deal. This is a really, really important piece of legislation. I hope that it expands to other states across the country. You can encourage your legislator to do the same in your particular state. So folks, stay in the fight. Don't forget, regardless of the good, the bad, and the ugly, we can be joyful because of whose we are, regardless of who's in the White House or even the mayhem and chaos at the border. We can be righteously angry about it while also counting it all joy when we experience various trials. God bless you. Thanks so much for listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.